In the introduction to her fourth collection of newspaper columns, Ellen Goodman writes, "Newspapers are as transient as the day. They tell what has happened in the last 24 hours, but I have spent most of my career in the corner of that world, trying to wrestle meaning out of those daily stories." Ellen Goodman has been a journalist for 25 years. Her Pulitzer Prize-winning column for the Boston Globe is syndicated to 400 newspapers. Since she started her column in 1971, Goodman has chronicled the social and political changes of her time. One recent column was about the disturbing change she saw while walking on the streets of Philadelphia. On every corner, she was confronted by someone asking her for money. I asked her how this experience became a column.
When things happen in your life, some of them are trivial, obviously, and some of them are tremendously personal and have no larger meaning. But when you come across something that you know resonates, and that's a very subjective decision, but you know it resonates with what other people have experienced, and you know that it hits the spot. And the point of that column was, hey, you know, we've all seen a lot of this happening, but enough's enough. When you can't walk through a city without getting hassled on every street corner, not by people who are homeless and need shelter. Those people should certainly be sheltered, but by people who are hustling and by people who are pushing against you for a couple of bucks to feed their alcohol or drug problem, and who have changed the entire tenor of a city so that ordinary citizens no longer want to go to dinner in that city, that city's got a serious problem. And that's true not just for Philadelphia, but for other parts of other cities.
Did you think, am I becoming hard-hearted or insensitive by saying this? Did that go through your mind before you wrote it?
No.
Right, okay.
Not really. It does, I think you have to... What my male colleagues who use metaphors, sports metaphors, interminably would say, you got to step up to the plate. And you have to, these are all sports metaphors, which I abhor, but you have to call them the way you see them. I could give you a whole other range of them before I ran out of my knowledge of, of football, baseball, et cetera. I'd probably start mixing them at some point. But
well, I want to ask you a few things about your life. You are now very confident to take a stand on whatever issue you decide to write about. Were you sure of yourself back when you were in high school? Were you confident about expressing opinions in the classroom or with friends?
Do you know anybody who is sure of herself at 14? If you find one, I'll save the city a lot. I think that to a certain degree in my home, my father in particular, my father was a lawyer and he had a style of conversation, which was also debate. I mean, that was his format. I don't mean that he wasn't also loving and cheerful and funny, because he was all of that. But when he discussed issues, and issues were discussed a lot in our household, you couldn't get away with a sort of wishy-washy statement about it. You were generally in the midst of a fairly strong debate about it. And I lost most of those debates, certainly with my father, until I was maybe 16, 17, and stopped having them. But it hones your arguments to a certain extent. And then I think just on-the-job training, you become a journalist, and the process of going from being a reporter, where you say what other people think, to being a columnist, where you say what you think, is a process of honing that and feeling comfortable with it. And you also get a lot of grief. If you say what you think, people tell you what they think of what you think. And you have to be able to handle that. And that is much easier as you get older than when you are young.
Your columns address the personal and the political. They address what's happening in the White House, all the political issues of the day, but they also look at what's happening in people's offices, what's happening in their home lives, how are the generations getting along. Did you find it was difficult at first to be able to combine the personal and the political in one column?
Well, I have to tell you, that was my intent from the beginning. Professionally, when I started out, you could either write an op-ed page column, which was Walter Lippmann, It was on the Walter Lippmann model. Or you could write about intimate life or personal life, which was on the Irma Bombeck model. And those are two wonderful models, but there was nobody who was allowed to cross that. Now, I started working really along with the women's movement. If you remember the women's movement slogan, the personal is political,
mm-hmm.
It seemed to me that it was very important not to dissect life. I mean, you and I would get up in the morning and you worry about, you know, washing your hair and finding clean clothes and whether the SNLs are going to fold. I mean, we worry about all of these things simultaneously, or we think about them all in the course of a life. And to say, no, I can't write about how people are dealing with raising their children, how anxious we are all about the future, and write about the greenhouse effect. It just seems to me important to cover all of those. So even though at first it was sort of an aberration and a lot of newspapers didn't know, quote, where to put it, end quote, that was a deliberate decision of mine that I wouldn't write one or the other, but that I would try to express the range of things we all care about. That was a very long answer to your question. I apologize.
I want to ask you about an observation that you made in one of your columns. You said, men are at a disadvantage by not having menopause.
I know.
I thought that was very interesting.
It drove people crazy.
Well, elaborate on that for us, for our listeners who haven't read your column.
Well, one of the things I think that's happened in life is this kind of postponing of decisions. And one of the major decisions that's been postponed is that of child rearing. And the column that you're referring to is one that I wrote about a number of men that I knew who were pushing aside and forever the decision about whether they were going to have children, or they kept it in the future. And now here they were coming along. They're in their 40s now, and they still didn't have that sense of urgency about making a decision that women have. Women have a biological clock, and it gives them a certain sensible relationship to the life cycle and to the human life cycle. And I think in some perverse way, even though women have come to see it as something of a disadvantage often, in some perverse way, the biological alarm of menopause is a very healthy reminder and a very healthy deadline. And that men don't always have that. And so they sort of can sometimes slip around and not make decisions and end up missing a lot in life.
You are on the Sunday morning Brinkley show quite a bit.
I'm in the rotation.
I wonder what that experience has been like.
I'm in the visitor's chair.
Right. But you know, you were so used to, I know you do a lot of public speaking, but still most of your work is on the page where you can think every word out beforehand. And suddenly there you are on TV, having to express it all verbally and also be visible. And I know a lot of people in both newspapers and radio enjoy their invisibility. So how have you been liking the experience of being visible and verbal?
Visible and hopefully verbal. Definitely visible. I think it's pretty good. It makes you think on your feet. I've never really found myself uncomfortable with that. Occasionally, I found myself, you know, in the situation in that show of being the skirt,
and right.
You know, Cokie Roberts, who also does the show, and I have talked and laughed about it at various times. And in fact, one day we were both on, which probably set the record for the program. There were actually two women at the same morning. It must have been quite a shock. But it's fun to sit there between George Will and Sam Donaldson and see if you get to actually say anything.
Ellen Goodman, thanks a lot.
Thank you.